surgery on the shoulder the 20th. So I've never had shoulder surgery. I know you get locked up for a while. And so be in prayer for Terry, if you would. Is it possible to have opposing opinions on a project? Yes. There are people who are not really in favor of the rescue mission. All right. I like the idea. It's not parked in my backyard, though. And I'm sure it might be different for people if it was. So, but we can have different opinions on things. Our country was divided over slavery many years ago. I believe it was one of the main causes of the Civil War. We have differences of opinion over gun laws in our country now. We believe abortion is wrong. Others don't. We believe the Bible speaks against same-sex marriage. Others are in favor of it. We have Democrats, Republicans, Independents. We have Fox News and CNN. Different sides of the story. We have different tastes in music. Different taste when it comes to worship styles. Different taste in dress codes. Different taste in translations of the Bible. I like the NIV. Some people like the King James, and so we have different opinions. Now, let me just share some of the arguments churches have had. There have been arguments over the appropriate length of the worship pastor's beard. There has been a fight over whether we should build a children's playground or a cemetery. A deacon accusing another deacon of sending an anonymous letter decided to settle the matter in the parking lot. A church dispute of whether or not to install restroom stall dividers in the woman's restroom. A church argument and vote to decide if a clock should be allowed in the worship place or not. A 45-minute argument over the type of filing cabinet to purchase, black or brown, two or three or four drawers. A fight over which picture of Jesus to put in the foyer, of him laughing, of him at the cross. A dispute, a petition to have all the church staff clean shaven. Okay? Now, heaven, I must be a different church. A dispute over whether the worship leader should have shoes on when he leads worship. A church argument to discover the budget was off 10 cents. Someone finally gave a dime and settled the issue. A dispute in the church because the Lord's Supper had cran grape juice instead of grape juice. Okay. Argument over what type of green beans to use at the supper. A major conflict when a youth borrowed a crock pot that had not been used for years. We can have lots of disagreements. petty disagreements. Now let's take our Bible again to Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, we looked at this last week and we called it "Don't Mess with the Recipe" and "Don't Annoy the Cook," okay? And we talked about the fact that the Judaizers had come, and the Judaizers had come and they were bringing with them some prerequisites for salvation. Unless you're circumcised, unless you keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And Paul and Barnabas are quick to disagree with this. They realize this is wrong, and they quickly tell, they say, hey, this is worth going to Jerusalem and settling at Jerusalem about. So they go in there and they have a church council, and we find there when they get there in chapter 15, verse 5, then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met to consider the question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. And once again, Paul and Barnabas, they say, this is worth arguing about. And there are things in this book that are worth arguing about. And there will be churches that we do not agree with doctrinally because we believe they have violated or they have left the true teaching of the Word of God. And we, there's, once again, why am I a Baptist? Well, I'm a Baptist because I don't believe that baptizing an infant saves them. I believe that you come to know Christ and then you identify with him in baptism. So that sets me apart. And once again, I appreciate Pastor Dave, what's his last name? He was at the Adoration Lutheran Church at least. And when I was sitting in my house with my knees all messed up, he came over and visited me. I appreciate that. But we would get in discussions over infant baptism, and we talk from the Word of God. And it was, once again, we didn't shoot each other, but it was nice just to be able to, hey, this is what I believe, and he would share why he believed what he believed. And so I think at times we need to be willing to have these kinds of discussions. This type of disagreement and discussion becomes important to the work of getting at the truth of the Scriptures. We've been in the book of Ephesians on Wednesday nights, and it says there's supposed to be a unity of the faith. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. These are the things we're supposed to be having unity about. There are times when we do disagree. There are churches in even this city where we would disagree with them concerning the deity of Christ. We believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. And we believe that he has come. We believe he always existed, eternal God. And yet there was a point in time where he comes into this world, takes upon himself the form of a man like you and I are, and he walks on this earth. But we believe he's God all the time. We believe also when it comes to the authority of the Scriptures, we believe that this Bible is God's Word. God used men to write it, so we have it. But we believe that what God has said is true. Now, once again, as a Baptist, One of the things that makes me a Baptist is the way we approach this book. Now, we approach this book, we try to be very literal as we read the Word of God. We accept the creation accounts as being 7 days, you know, that week. We believe that God created the world out of nothing. We believe that we have a relatively young earth compared to the billions and billions of years you hear the evolutionists say. So this is one of the reasons we say, once again, is there figurative language in this book? Yes, there is. There's times where Jesus says, I'm the door. Well, he's not talking about the wood door, but he's talking about what stands between us and God. Okay? And so we understand sometimes the figurative things in the Word of God as well. But how we approach the Word of God is something to argue about. It's, you know, and we do it kindly. Once again, probably the fun time we had when I was in this chaplain class and we went down to Macomb's police department on Tuesday nights with Dave Coleman from the Free Methodist Church, and at that time Mike Wilson was at the Presbyterian Church, and the three of us were in the car for an hour. It was fun! You know? We just talked about, you know, and once again we found out sometimes people are pretty well the same. You know? Some of the issues that they were faced with was the same issues we were faced with. And one of the things we did have in common, we did honor Jesus Christ as being Lord. We believe that He died on the cross for us. We believe that He was buried. We believe that He rose again. And we believe He's coming again. And those are the things we hold on to. There's times where we should be arguing or disagreeing more with what's going on in our society, because we do have the authority of the Word of God to back us up. We have the right to say, hey, abortion is wrong. God wants us to, you know, care for those who can't be cared for. God wants us to stand for marriage and that. Well, once again, in the first part of this book, we find Paul and Barnabas standing for the purity of the gospel. And they are willing to go to Jerusalem and fight it out. Now later on, let's go over to chapter 15, verse 30. Okay? This is the, after the letter, verse 30. The men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. Once again, we should go back a little bit and say, the Judaizers were talking about, hey, this is what you need to do to earn salvation. James is telling these people, hey, there's certain ways you live once you are a Christian as the evidence of salvation. Now, you stay away from immorality. You stay away from strangled animals that were given for idols. We want you to keep away from idolatry. You're coming out of that. And we want you to stay away from that kind of thing. So they take this back. The people read this letter and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the brothers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained at Antioch and were there for many others, taught and preached the Word of God. Now, sometimes later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the Word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. Now let's take our Bibles back just a little bit and turn to chapter 14. Okay. Chapter 14. Let's see if I can find it here. Da-da-da-da. Where I'm looking at where John left them
Maybe it's right here. Okay, let's go back to chapter 13. Sorry about that. Chapter 13, verse 13. They had been traveling through all this island, preaching the word of God. And in verse 13 of 13, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia. And here all it says, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. That's all we know. John is a young man who's helping them in this missionary endeavor. And this is what we're told. John left them to return to Jerusalem. Now, over in chapter 15, once again, verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. Now, verse 39, I hate to see they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Now, I don't know about you, that sort of bothers me at first. Here we have two men who have been preaching the word of God and seeing people come to know Christ, and all of a sudden they have a disagreement. And for me, at this moment, it sure seems to be a disagreement over whether we should have a clock in the... It seems to be a small matter. You know, it seems to be small compared to the disagreement between the Judaizers saying, hey, this is the new gospel we're bringing. That really needed to be dealt with. But you know what? We have disagreements at times. We're human. And we at times, you may be struggling with a family disagreement. We've got them in the Pardue Cuddy family. Okay, we got them. They're there. Now we've worked at trying to mend them some, and we're doing better. But it's there. And you may have them in your family. You may have them at work. There are times when we disagree. And sometimes we disagree over petty things. Now we should, the challenges. There are many verses in the Bible that challenge us to be unified. Probably the best one. Back in Psalms 133, verse 1, it says this. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. That's just a neat verse. Okay? Let me read some of the other ones. Ephesians. We've been in Ephesians on Wednesday night. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And for me, it's important that the Spirit of God be able to work in the presence of the Sandusky Baptist Church, and that Spirit can be grieved at times by our pettiness. Jesus said this just before he went to the cross. My prayer is not for the disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know how that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And once again, when two deacons are duking it out in the parking lot, it has a way of making news in Sandusky. Yeah. And so we want to try to have a testimony that we are working together for the cause of Christ and again instead of against each other. Another passage over in Colossians, it says it this way. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, so once again, we have this two sides going on here. Throughout history, debates have been used as a means of challenging opinions and resolving issues. Most of the great doctrines of this scriptures have been hammered out in councils. They have hammered out the deity of Christ. We believe differently than the Jehovah Witnesses do, and that was hammered out many, many, many years ago in councils. Martin Luther. We tip our hat to Martin Luther because he wrestled with the whole issues of whether we're saved by grace through faith or we're saved by works, you know. And so, once again, there was the Reformation and a lot of that. Debates were a process that God used to separate truth from error and to uphold Christian orthodoxy. The Bible provides some ways that you and I can debate right. Be prepared to defend your viewpoint at times. What do you believe? Okay? Now, once again, I always say, know what you believe and believe what you know. There are times when you get into discussions with others, it's good to be able to say, hey, this is why I believe this. You're taking your argument from the scriptures. Now, once again, be careful because you don't want to just take one verse and build your theology on one verse. You want to take it in the context of what God's word is. But be prepared to defend your viewpoint. Speak the truth in love. Christians must speak the truth, but make sure we do it in love. Our attempts, we're trying to refute and correct people, but we must demonstrate love as we do that. Guard your words. Now, it's easy. It's easy to call everybody else stupid that doesn't believe with, doesn't agree with you. Okay? But we're supposed to be at least listening to what that other person has to say. And so, I encourage you to do that. Get rid of all malice, all slander, all those things. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as the Lord forgave you. There's times where we learn to accept one another. There's certain ways. Take your Bibles ahead to Romans chapter 14. You'll see there sometimes the differences that go on. It says there in chapter 14, verse 1, accept those whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. What's the Bible say? There's going to be disputable matters. There's going to be matters we differ on, okay? One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's faith, who is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him, okay? And so, if there's certain things, be clearly, you know, you need to be able to defend what you believe from the Word of God. Why are you saying this? Now, there's a verse I love back in Philippians that says this. All of us who are mature should have the same opinion of things. Now, once again, if we're going to be true to the Word of God, we should be coming up with the sort of the same truth. We were told in seminary this. This book has one interpretation, but many applications. Okay? This verse may go to a convict a sinner, but in some way it may comfort another person. So the applications can be different, but the truth should be what God has given the author. He has one purpose, one interpretation for us to work at. So keep on reading. I appreciate Karen keeps on reading the Bible. I really do. And she comes up, hey, what about this? What about this? Yeah. And sometimes we wrestle with some things in the scriptures. And I want you to say, if you can't if the Bible just doesn't make sense, please keep reading. Because God has a way of explaining it down the road. Okay, so do that. Now, there are many decisions that we are faced with that have no chapter and verse to support them. I don't see a verse in there that says, you must wear a tie this morning. I don't see a verse that says, you got to wear a three-piece suit. I don't see that. Then what do you do? What do you do when you come up against, hey, we're having a disagreement over this? At times you have to look at maybe the Word of God and say, hey, what's more honoring? Is it more honoring for me to wear a tie and a suit or a bathing suit? Maybe we could ask that question. And so we'd like to think that we should be able to come up to the same opinions. There are many decisions we are faced with that have no direct passage of Scripture giving us the answer. Should we take John Mark with us? Paul comes as a defender of the gospel. He sees it as an important mission that needs soldiers who won't go AWOL. So he's looking at the importance of representing the gospel and having people that are going to be faithful and loyal. You know how Barnabas is looking at this? Barnabas is a people person. He is called an encourager. And he probably used this argument with Paul. Hey, Paul, don't you remember that when you wanted to join the disciples, I was the one who helped you? Well, that didn't solve the issue. But Barnabas looks at John Mark and says, hey, this young guy is worth working with. And guess who John Mark is? He's the guy who writes Mark in your Bible. And later on, what happens here? Number one, two good friends who have worked together now are splitting up. Verse 39 again, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. I am grateful, first of all, that Luke is the writer of Acts. He does not appear to choose sides here. And there's times where you may have to be the one to sit at the kitchen table with two people who are disagreeing and hopefully be the voice of reason. And one of the things you probably should be careful about is choosing sides at that moment. We have one thing I love about it. They did not abandon their faith in Christ. Oh, sometimes when there are church arguments, people leave and they don't go to worship anywhere. And I don't like that. Second thing, I'm glad to see that they did not leave the ministry. They had an issue that came up. They did not leave the ministry. And believe it or not, God used even this agreement to do what? Multiply the efforts of the gospel. And all of a sudden, instead of one team, we have two teams now sharing the good news. What about church splits? What about going to another church? I don't like to see people go to other churches like you hear. There are times, though, when I have seen people leave a church like this and become very involved in the next church. The chemistry is different. And they seem to be able to utilize their gifts. And I would have to say, good thing. Another thing we need to realize, this church has had its splits over the years, different things. And there's other churches as a result of that. I think one church was not a split, though. Port Sanilac was actually Dwayne, get me right here. You basically said, hey, we're going to try to start another church out in Port Sanilac. You like that kind of thing. Hey, that's how you're supposed to do it. But whatever you need to see, there's going to be disagreements. And I guess I'm going to challenge you, be careful with yours. Develop a proper heart attitude. Evaluate your part in the conflict. Go, and once again, here's the pattern we're supposed to. If you have an issue with someone, you know what you're supposed to do? Go to McDonald's and talk about them! Oh, I thought that's what we always do. If you have an issue with someone, you're supposed to, according to the Word of God, go to that person and talk to them. If they will not listen to you, then you're supposed to take a brother or a sister in Christ and go with you. Matthew chapter 18, you can read that. And that's how we're supposed to deal with these things. Conflict is the best when individuals prayerfully and humbly focus on loving others with the intent of resolving or restoring relationships. Most issues of conflict should be manageable. If the above biblical principles of having the right attitude in the heart and doing it properly works. And I think we can see, yes, there's going to be disputes at times. Sometimes they have to come because we're trying to defend this word and trying to bring glory to our Lord. Other times they're going to creep into our life, sometimes because of our own sinfulness and pettiness. And let us try to pull down the mirror and work on resolving issues. Later on, probably the best words you ever hear Paul say, bring Mark with you because he's profitable to me for the ministry. He's helpful. You really never hear. Now, there's just a little bit of a statement once about Barnabas, but you never really hear whether these guys got back together the way they once were. Lord, help us with the disagreements that are going on in our lives today. We pray, Lord, that we might work to practice what your word says about going to the person and trying to resolve the issues. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be defenders of your word and not apologize for the truth. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to our lives and work them in Christ's name. Amen.